Well, take your Bible this morning and turn with me, if you would please, to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And in just a few moments, I'm going to be reading the first five verses of Scripture throughout the introduction of the message. I do want to encourage you to leave your Bibles handy. We're going to be using them throughout the course of the preaching time this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1. I was talking to the pastor earlier this week about the message that I'm getting ready to preach. And I said, "Preacher, I want you to help me to decide when would be the best service to preach this message." And I want to follow your pastor's faith this week. God has given you a very, very wise man of God. We both agreed that this morning would be the best time to consider these verses of Scripture out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. For some of you that are active members of the Gilead Baptist Church, you're not going to hear anything new that your pastor hasn't already preached, but there'll be some things that'll be different, I trust, and we're believing together that God would use it to challenge our hearts about this matter of giving regularly, faithfully, and systematically as the Bible clearly teaches, over and above our regular tithes and offerings, so that others could hear the same gospel that we were blessed to hear. So if you found your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul, as he was led of the Holy Ghost of God to do so, writes, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." With the help of the Lord, and while using these five verses of Scripture, I want to preach on this subject this Lord's Day, making the case for giving by faith. Again, we're going to be using our Bibles this morning, and I'll tell you why. When it comes to this matter of giving by faith, it really doesn't matter what I have to say. But friend, it matters a whole lot what God has to say. My prayer is that each of us would determine this morning to not only be hearers, but to be doers of the Word of God. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, bless our time of Bible study this morning. Help me, I pray. I'm nothing without You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated. Let's take a few moments, if we may, in order that we might consider the context of the Holy Spirit of God leading Paul to pen these verses of Scripture. When you study the Bible, you'll discover that after waiting a full year for the Corinthian church to fulfill a promise regarding a special offering for the saints at Jerusalem, Paul is writing the verses before us in order to persuade the Corinthians to do what they promised earlier in the year they would do. In an effort to be effective in doing so, the Holy Ghost leads Paul, to use the churches of Macedonia as an example of giving by faith for the sake of others. And of course, those churches of Macedonia would include the church of Philippi, the church of Thessalonica, as well as the church of Berea. these Macedonian churches had participated in the same offering as a result of the report they had initially received from Paul concerning the church of Corinth's promise to give. Now, we know that to be the case because we have read and studied 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2, Paul said this, "Your zeal," speaking of course of the Corinthians' zeal, "hath provoked very many." That is to say, as a result of the Corinthians' promise to give, the Macedonians were persuaded to give as well. However, when you study the Bible, you'll discover there was a vast difference between the Macedonians' promise to give and the Corinthians' promise to give. The Corinthians delayed. They procrastinated in their giving, but the Macedonians dedicated themselves to not only be hearers, but to be doers of the Word of God. They performed the promise they made through giving, because God would work through their giving in order to make a difference in the lives of others. Now, that truth assures us this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that God still has a plan to finance the work of making a difference in the lives of others. And I believe with all of my heart that plan is clearly revealed here in the same truths that the Lord is using Paul to write here in the text before us concerning the Macedonians' giving. Why, you don't think for one moment that Jesus would have commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature without a plan to finance that great work, do you? Absolutely not. I submit to you, God still has a plan to finance the work of world evangelism, of making a difference in the lives of others. And since that plan includes me, and since that plan includes you, and in fact all of the Church of the Living God today, it would certainly behoove each of us to take a few moments and consider what God is saying here in the text before us when it comes to this matter of giving by faith. I'm preaching on the fault, making the case for giving by faith. However, this morning, first things first. When you study the Bible, you'll discover that God primarily in His Word speaks of three different types of giving. First of all, God speaks and teaches us in His Word about the tithe. Now, this isn't a tithing message. I'm not going to take a great deal of time here, but let me just take a few moments and tell you what the Bible, in a nutshell, teaches us about the tithe. The word tithe simply means tenth and speaks of a tenth of one's increase that God has ordained to be given from each and every one of His children in order that the financial needs of the local Bible-believing church would be met. The tithe should be the starting point. Are you listening? The tithe should be the starting point of all of our giving. Now, it should never be the stopping point, but it should always be the starting point. I like to say it like this. The tithe isn't the ceiling we stop at. The tithe is merely the ground that we stand upon. I've had people try to convince me that tithing was something that was only done under the law. I would say to you, read your Bible. Abraham tithed before there was a law. I like to say it like this. Abraham commenced it, Jacob continued it, Moses commanded it, Jesus in the New Testament of the Bible, the Lord Himself commended it, and therefore who in the world am I to cancel it? The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30, the tithe is the Lord's and it is holy unto Him. And therefore, since the tithe clearly belongs to the Lord, you and I haven't even started giving until we have given above what already belongs to the Lord. I am fully convinced this morning that every financial need of the local church would be met and exceeded if God's people would simply follow God's plan and tithe. That is exactly why the Old Testament prophet Malachi said in Malachi 3, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Hear me this morning, church. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 is just one portion of the Bible out of several portions of the Bible that assures me it's not a burden to tithe, it's a blessing to tithe. Tithing doesn't produce poverty. Quite the contrary, tithing assures us of God's plenty. Again, this isn't a tithing message, but let me say this, that I'm moving. After over 3 decades of ministry, I have never met a spiritual Christian that wasn't a scriptural tither. So the Bible speaks of the tithe. Then the Bible speaks of sacrificial giving or voluntary offerings. Now this type of giving is above the tithe. For instance, the children of Israel gave of their own treasures when it came to the erection of the tabernacle in the wilderness. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a wonderful example of sacrificial giving in order that the work of God might move forward. And opportunities always abound through the ministry of the local Bible-believing church for God's people to participate in sacrificial giving or voluntary offerings. Your pastor may feel impressed of the Lord to receive a special offer. Maybe a benevolence need has arisen within the church. He may have Brother Ricky and the other ushers pass the offering plates, and you would have an opportunity not to put your tithe in the offering plate, even though that's the starting point of all of our giving, but you would give above that. You would give voluntarily so that you could be a blessing as far as the special offering is concerned. So there is sacrificial giving or voluntary offerings. But then, I believe with all of my heart, there is the most blessed giving of all, and that is giving by faith for the sake of others. And friend, the more I read and study my Bible, the more I am absolutely, positively convinced that God intends for the world to be evangelized by means of this type of giving. Some call it grace giving, and it is grace giving, but I personally, along with your pastor, prefer the term faith promise giving, because I believe that term more adequately describes what God is using Paul to write about in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Now, time will not allow us to dig into the truths of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So as we consider this matter of giving by faith for the sake of others, as we consider the missions offering this morning, let's dig into these 5 verses of Scripture that the Lord has led us to this morning. First of all, notice number 1, the problems the Macedonians' faith had to overcome. And can I stop right here long enough to say this to you, child of God? There will always be problems your faith, my faith, will have to overcome. If you are waiting until you make the final house payment, then chances are you will never know the blessing. You will never experience the joy of giving by faith for the sake of others. If you are waiting until you pay the car off, until you make the last doctor bill payment, chances are you will never know the joy. You will never experience the blessing. The Bible teaches us we can experience having learned the joy of giving by faith. Can I say it again? There will always be problems your faith, my faith, will have to overcome. Have you ever considered the problems these Macedonian churches' faith had to overcome? These Macedonians, friend, they gave in spite of some things. Look at verse 2. In verse number 2, the Bible teaches us that they gave in spite of great affliction. They knew what it was like to suffer for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul specifically was inspired of the Lord to use the words in verse 2, great trial of affliction. They not only gave in spite of great affliction, if you'll look on into verse 2, they gave in spite of deep poverty. Isn't that what your Bible says? You specifically see two words that are worthy of our considerations. Not only great trial of affliction, but here are the two words, deep poverty. They were not giving because it was convenient to give. They were not giving because they could afford to give. They were giving in spite of two great problems. Great affliction. Deep poverty. Can you imagine how easy it would have been for these Macedonian churches to get focused on them, on their own selves, and forget about the needs of others? But boy, they set a great example for us, didn't they? They gave in spite of some things. In spite of great affliction. In spite of deep poverty. There will always be problems. Your faith, my faith, will have to overcome. And so the Bible teaches us about the problems their faith had to overcome. Secondly, as we move on into the text, notice the pattern of their faith. Now, if you'll look with me in your Bibles this morning, I think you'll discover there is a very obvious pattern concerning the Macedonian church's giving. You'll see the pattern in verse 3. Paul writes, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." There is a twofold pattern the Bible clearly establishes for us in verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. First of all, they started giving, what does your Bible say? To their power. Do you know what that means? I'll tell you exactly what that means. They started giving the tithe, because the tithe is the starting point of all of our giving. And I'm so thankful God inspired those words in verse 3, "for to their power." And I'll tell you why I'm thankful those words are in there. Because you may be here in the service this morning, and this is all new to you. Maybe you have never given to missions before, regularly, systematically, faithfully, over and above your regular tithes and offerings. And you're really at a loss. You really don't know where to start. Now, you know that the tithe is clearly established. Now, Cassie and I give more than a tenth, but at least 10% of whatever the Lord sends in every month, at least a tenth of that belongs to the Lord. And God has clearly taught us in His Word that it is to be given through the local church that we are a member of. That's one of the reasons why my pastor loves me. I'm never there to give him an ounce of trouble, and he always knows the tithe is on the way. That's true. Really is true. So, they started giving the tithe. And then I'll tell you, what I believe verse 3 means. I believe they sat down knowing that they wanted to give for the sake of others, knowing that they wanted to have a part in sending the Apostle Paul to make a difference in the lives of others by establishing churches and by preaching the gospel. I believe those words, "for to their power," means they sat down and they figured up what they could afford to give. Now, here is a wonderful place to start giving to missions if you've never given before. What can you afford to give?
The price of a soft drink today is $2.50. In some cases, $3. Is it worth it to sacrifice the price of a soft drink a day to keep a soul out of hell? That's roughly $3 a day. Could you give $3 a day? Could you give a dollar a day? Children, I'm so thankful that God put these words in the Bible. Could you give a quarter a day? Could you give a dime a day? Could you give $5 a month? Could you give $15 a month to keep souls out of hell? Could you give $5 a month to help Brother David and his family get back to the Caribbean? What is it worth to you to see the gospel be preached around the world? They started giving to their power. But wait a minute. When they started giving to their power, something began to happen in their hearts. They wanted to give more. Do you want to know why they wanted to give more? Because when they put their treasure in reaching others with the gospel, their heart followed. And isn't that exactly what Jesus said would happen? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is," listen now, Jesus said, our Savior said, our Lord said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so they started giving what they could afford. They started giving to their power. But when they started giving to their power, their heart followed and they wanted to do more. So I believe they went back and they sat down at the table with their monthly budget again. And they said, "You know, Lord, we would love to give more to missions, but there's a problem. We're living in great affliction and we're suffering in deep poverty. And Lord, we've sat back down and we're trying to figure up, Lord, if we could give more, and it's just not adding up on paper. So, Lord, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a step of faith here. And, Lord, we're going to trust You to give through us, to give what You would never give to us to keep." There is a difference. And when they started taking steps of faith, God worked a miracle. According to verse number 3, when they began to exercise their faith, they were able to give beyond their power. It's right here in your Bible, verse 3. Paul writes, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Do you see the twofold pattern? They started giving to their power, but when they began to exercise their faith, God enabled them to give beyond their power. Now, there are many illustrations I could give you. Let me mention two right quickly. First of all, a scriptural illustration. 1 Kings chapter 17. There's a famine going on. Elijah is led to a little town of the Mediterranean coast between Tyre and Sidon, a place by the name of Zarephath. Zarephath. Elijah shows up. He sees a little widow woman gathering sticks at the gate of the city. Elijah calls to the woman and he says, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a vessel of water to drink." Now remember, there's a famine going on. Water is very scarce in this day. But the widow turns and she goes and she starts the process of getting water for the man of God. Then Elijah calls to her again and he says, "Bring me a morsel of bread in thine hand." The widow stops in her tracks. She turns to the man of God, and this is what she says. Has the Lord thy God liveth? I have not in cake, but in a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And me and my son are out here gathering some sticks so we can go in and dress it. And we've already filled out our last will and testament. We're going to eat it, and we're going to die. That was their plan. Then the man of God makes to the casual Bible reader a very conceited request. He says to the widow woman, make me thereof a little cake first, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of God, as He gave it to you through Elijah. So you know what that woman did? She reached down in that meal barrel and she took the last handful of meal that she had and she gave it away for the sake of others. I'm about to get happy right here, brother. And then she poured what little bit of oil she had out for the sake of others. And the next morning when she woke up, there was more meal in the barrel. And there was more oil in the cruse. You know what she did that day? She gave it again beyond her power. And the next morning, Miss Hildegard, the next morning she woke up, and when Elijah ordered his pancakes, God put more meal in the barrel. The Word of God says that in this she did many days. Her and her house, her household, the man of God, did eat for many days. Do you know what happened? God was giving through her to give what He would have never given to her to keep. That's a scriptural example. Let me give you a personal example. Cassie and I were in a meeting several years ago. And as we were riding down the road on the way to the church, Cassie just up and said to me that night, you know what I miss the most about being a pastor's wife? I said, no, honey, what is it that you miss the most? She said, honestly, I miss a lot of things about pastoring. Of course, I love the people. I appreciate the people. I love having a part in their daily lives. But she said, really, what I really miss the most is having my own personal faith promise. You see, at our house, when I pastored, we had a family faith promise. Then I had a personal faith promise. Cassie had a personal faith promise. And our two children had a personal faith promise. So from the Caudill household, we had five faith promises coming out of that one household. Cassie was our mission secretary. And at that time, at Canaan, we were giving between $190,000 and $200,000 a year to missions. And it was Cassie's job to send that money out to missionaries all over the world every month. The church couldn't afford a full-time salary, of course, but they gave her a little bit just to say thank you. And from that little bit the church gave Cassie, she made a personal faith promise. But she told me that night riding down the road, but see, I don't have that income coming in now. She said, I miss my personal faith promise. Well, I preached that night, and after the service was over, we were headed back to the motel where the church had graciously provided for us. And Cassie said, honey, I think I need to tell you why I went to the altar to pray tonight. She said, it got to bothering me throughout the course of your message this evening that I told you that since I didn't have an income, God couldn't give through me so that others could hear the gospel. She said, that convicted me. She said, throughout the course of this service, I began thinking, you know, God doesn't have to have a paycheck to give through me, to give to others. So she said, now I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I went to the altar tonight and I made a personal faith promise. I have a personal faith promise. Well, not long after that, I went to Cassie. And I said, you know, Cassie, since we've been in missions, God has worked through our CD sales to put all the gas in our vehicles. I tell you what I'll do. If you'll keep up with the CDs, I'll make them. If you'll help sell them, if you keep up with the inventory, other than what we use in gas, you can have every bit of whatever comes in on the CD sales. She was thrilled about that because that gave her an opportunity to have at least a little bit of income every week so that she could give it away. Well, everywhere I go, just like I did when I came here, if I've never been there before, I am always careful to ask the pastor, are you okay if I put some of our CDs out on the table? And we were in a fairly large church this week, not long after she made a faith promise. And I asked the pastor if it was okay if we put some CDs out on the table. And he was a little bothered by that. I could just tell, having pastored before. And I said, preacher, don't worry about it. There's not a problem in this world. Don't think another thing about it. We won't put the CDs out on the table this week. Well, I told Cassie, I said, honey, don't put the CDs out on the table. And she looked at me and she said, oh. I said, well, what's wrong, honey? She said, well, I need my faith promise this week. And I said, well, we'll just trust the Lord. Let's just see what the Lord will do. Do you know, and I'm condensing a long story into just a very few moments this morning. Do you know that very week, not the week before, not the week after, but that very week, we had the largest order for CDs on our website that we've ever had in the history of having CDs on our website before. Someone had gone to our website, and at that time we had 10 CDs listed on our website, and they had ordered one of every CD we had, plus they paid the shipping. Now, you folks get a deal here on the website. They're $15 a piece, and they pay shipping. And so someone had placed a rather large order. And I always am careful when I see that order. The website sends me an email, and it tells me who placed that order and gives me an address of where I should send the CDs to. Do you want to know who placed, to this day, the largest order for CDs that we have ever had in the history of our website, the very week that Cassie needed that money to send to the missionaries? It was a deaf Bible college in North Georgia. A deaf, and as soon, if you don't understand, they're deaf! What does a bunch of deaf people want with music CDs? They can't hear it? And so as soon as I saw that, first thing I thought was, Pastor Holmes has played a dirty trick on Brother Carter. I thought, this can't be right. This is out of the question. This is not true. And so with every order, I get a name, I get an amount that they've paid, I get an address, and I get a phone number. So before I told Cassie, I said, I'm calling this number to make sure that this is legitimate before we get too excited. And so I called the number, and sure enough, someone on the other end picked up and they said, such and such, Deaf Bible College. And I said to the lady who answered the phone, yes, ma'am, my name is Scott Caudle. And I got about right there, and the lady said, Brother Caudle. She said, I can't believe it. I just placed a rather large order for a bunch of your CDs. And I said, ma'am, are you telling me that this is legitimate? She said, well, Brother Caudle, why would you think it wouldn't be legitimate? I said, ma'am, the people that come to your school are deaf. What are they doing ordering a bunch of CDs? And she laughed just like you're laughing. And this is what she said. She said, oh, Brother Caudle, she said, all of the students that go to school here, they're not completely deaf. They can hear a little bit, and they know you sing a lot of songs about reaching the world with the gospel, and they love those songs. And they have a choir, and they go from church to church, and they know your music is very conservative. It's not going to offend anybody. So what they do is they turn your music loud enough when they form their deaf choir, and they turn it loud enough that they can feel the beat of the songs in their feet. And when you sing the songs, they sign as you sing. She said, absolutely, this is completely legitimate. The money is on the way. Please send the CDs. Do you know what God was doing? God was giving through Miss Cassie to give what He would have never given to Miss Cassie to keep. And that is one story out of multitudes of stories. I could tell you how that God has given through God's people in order that others could be reached with the gospel. That is the same pattern that we see here in verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Notice the partnership of their faith. The partnership of their faith. Verse 4. Verse 4 says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The partnership of their faith. Have you ever wondered why those words right there in verse 4 sort of leap off of the page at you every time you read them? Praying us with much entreaty. Do you know what those words mean? Let me tell you what they mean quickly. The Macedonian churches literally begged Paul to take their offering. Praying us, your Bible says, my Bible says, with much entreaty. Here's what happened. Hey, Paul, we're going to send you some more money for your church planning efforts. Paul, we're going to send you a missions offering. Paul says, absolutely not. You have sent. You remember what he said to the church of Philippi? Once and again unto my necessity. You have given and given and given and given. You're living in deep poverty. You're suffering great affliction. Absolutely not. Send it to somebody else. I absolutely refuse to take your offering. The Macedonian churches begged him, praying us with much entreaty, Paul, please take our offering. Please, Paul, don't rob us of a blessing. Paul, let us give. Let us give. You know why? Because the Macedonian churches realized what Gilead Baptist Church ought to realize this morning. It isn't just that Brother David Ballinger and his family need you. Now, they do need you. God designed it that way. They're never going to get to the field without churches just like you. But wait a minute. Somebody help me preach right here. Has God called Gilead Baptist Church to reach the Caribbean with the gospel? He certainly has. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, then if that's true, and it certainly is, it isn't just that the Ballingers need you. You need the Ballingers. It isn't just that Brother Fabian and Miss Ashley need you. You need them. Amen? We are laborers together with God. The partnership of their faith. And finally, notice the priority of their faith. Verse 5. And this they did not as we hoped, which simply means the church's giving far exceeded what Paul could have ever hoped for. But first, do you see that word first? The word first speaks of position and priority. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Let me show you in closing this morning, let me show you in closing what the Macedonian churches didn't do. This is what the Macedonian churches didn't do. Now they did that, but not first. Let me show you what the Macedonian churches didn't do. Now they did that, but not first. What does your Bible say? But first, they put themselves in the offering plate.
And when they put themselves in the offering plate, why, I want you to look what went in the offering plate with them. Can I say this in closing? You want to know why some folks have an issue with this? Because they've never done this. If you do this, I assure you, this will take care of itself. The priority of their faith. You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me? Oh, Lord Jesus, I love You today. I thank You for the privilege to have been here on this very special day. Lord, the pastor said it earlier. I agree with him. It's one of the most important days of the entire church year here at the Gilead Baptist Church. Father, we would all be very, very wise today to follow Pastor Holmes' faith. In light of eternity, in light of the great need around the world, may we do so this morning for Your honor. As He comes to lead us in the invitation, I pray You give Him wisdom and discernment in Jesus' name. Amen.